Simply His Coffee Shop, everyone. We have a wonderful program planned out for you guys. We're going to be talking about translations and versions of the Bible. And is there one that is better than the other? Or are they similar but different? This can be kind of a controversial talk for some people because, you know, everybody has their favorite version of the Bible or the one that's kind of their go-to. And we definitely don't want to step on anybody's toes, but we thought it was a really good discussion to have in the light of so many people having their favorite translation of the Bible and whether this one's better than this one, that one's better than that one, or whatever. So we're going to go ahead and dive right into this conversation, and we hope that you learn something today.
Yeah, a lot of people actually ask me which one that I read. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you that straight out of the gate, I love the ESV and I love the NLT. Every single translation has its quirks and its little, if you study, where did they come from? Who translated it? Every single one of them has moments where I personally look at that and go, okay, so we're going to forgive this little moment and we're going to move on to over there. But even scholars, the best scholars in the world will tell you that there's an issue with every single one of the translations. It doesn't mean that the Bible is incorrect. It means that we need to be very prayerful in our considerations of what we are going to read. Mike Heiser, his is the best answer.
Yes.
When somebody asks Dr. Mike Heiser, our theologian friend on half of our programs, what is the best translation? His answer is always the one that you will read.
Absolutely.
And we absolutely love that answer.
Yes.
It's always going to be the right answer. I did come not with the big offensive arsenal, controversial, we're going to pow him in the kisser, but I did come with a couple of facts regarding the KJV. And the reason why is because in earlier generations, including my generation to some degree, there was a wave of teaching that said the only inspired, inerrant, written word of God is the KJV.
Right.
Now, I don't want to tear that down. If you love the KJV at home, Allie is actually a reader of the KJV primarily, correct?
Primarily, yeah. In my studies of theology, I've actually had schools require that I use an ESV, so I'm starting to get more used to that. But my KJV onlyism is actually, as you mentioned yesterday, out of habit. It's what I memorized growing up. Okay. And so now every time I say a scripture, it's always KJV. So I have just habitually continued to use KJV because it's what I'm familiar with. But I'm also aware of the fact that the youngest generations have a language barrier.
Yes.
You know, it's the same reason why a lot of them struggle to understand Shakespeare when they read Shakespeare. There's a lot of thee and thou and comest hither. And it's difficult for some of the younger people to follow. So in addition to trying to take on the Christian lifestyle and understand what God has to say to them, they're also dealing with this language barrier. Mm-hmm. And it can just become a lot for a new convert to take on.
It is. And actually, I'm glad you brought that up because, see, it's only in love and in the interest of freeing you from believing that that's the only one you're allowed to touch that we're going to address a couple of the issues behind the KJV translation. First of all, I know that the conversation needs to go here first. There is a difference between a translation and a version.
Yes, I was going to ask that.
Some Bibles are known as a version, but if you look into the history, what they're doing is they're updating English to English. I won't pick on any particular translation, but that's not a translation. A translation is when you go back to the original Hebrew or Greek and translate that into English that we can understand. Now, there's a couple of different kinds of translation. Briefly, there's one called the literal translation.
Yep.
Now, the problem with the literal translation, if I said today, it's raining cats and dogs outside, that's a euphemism.
Right.
You all know the grammar and the syntax and all of the different variations of what I'm saying means it's raining really hard outside. But now if you translate that in 2,000 years from now and somebody's translating it into Chinese or to German or some other world language and they don't understand our euphemism, they're going to say a miracle happened and Donna Howell said canines and felines fell out of the sky.
Exactly.
I say it's raining cats and dogs outside. A dynamic translation, that's the difference between literal and dynamic, because a literal translation is going to say canines and felines fell out of the sky. They're not going to capture the euphemism.
Exactly.
A dynamic translation not only understands the euphemism, the grammatical syntax, the background, the culture, all of those things, and takes that into consideration of the sentence being translated, but it also updates it into English, or in our case, English, into the world language that can be understood. So it's raining cats and dogs outside 2,000 years later translates into Chinese as it was raining really hard that day.
Right.
That's a dynamic translation. Now there's one that really bothers me. It's called the free or the liberal translation, and those I hope I'm not offending anybody, but like, for instance, there is one called the Cotton Patch Translation. It translates Rome into Washington, D.C. It translates the city of Corinth into Atlanta. So the idea is that it has gone so liberally that it can take and translate the entire word of God into an allegorical symbol of some kind. Oh. And so it strips entirely. And I only mentioned one, but there are a few of them out there. So when you go to the Bible store, the first question that you need to ask in asking what is the best Bible translation, first of all, make sure it's a translation, that it comes from the original biblical Greek, Hebrew, and occasionally Aramaic, as you see in the book of Daniel. The second question is to ask what kind of translation. Is it? Is it free or liberal? Or is it literal? Or is it dynamic?
Gotcha.
And in my opinion, the absolute hands down best is the dynamic translation. Mm-hmm. Having said that, this is a little bit of what I have a problem with the KJV, because it's considered in most places of the Bible to be a literal translation.
Okay.
But they also didn't translate it from Koine Greek. Koine Greek is the Greek that was spoken at the time of Christ. Right. When these original New Testament documents were written. The KJV translators in 1611 translated only knowing that Greek was classic Greek. They took it all the way back to the philosophical, classical, prior even to the Hellenistic period. There were the very, very origin roots of classical Greek. And they assumed when they made the translation that they were using that Greek. They did not even know that Koine Greek existed as a dialect, as a local dialect of Jesus and his disciples, because it wasn't even until centuries later that we discovered through extra-biblical archaeological documentation that there was a thing called Koine Greek. There's a lot of moments where they go into words that are also not treated consistently. For example, the word diakonos in Greek, it means deacon. And this in 23 locations of the New Testament in reference to a man was in reference to a supervisory Christian leader, a deacon or a minister. We reach the English words deacon or minister. Paul called Phoebe a diakonos, and it was translated servant. Wow. And that changes the idea, because we read the English idea that comes from kind of a patriarchal treatment of these words, and we see that there's all these men that are these powerful leaders, and nobody questions. They see minister and deacon, and they go, oh, powerful man of God, that one was.
Right.
Then they see Phoebe, and they see servant, and they go, oh, cute, she wiped the tables.
Right.
Well, wiping the tables down was a part of being a deacon, but because Jesus Christ himself was also the greatest servant of all, we can't say that that is in any way any kind of subordinational term.
Right.
And that's what we place on that. A couple of other really quick examples. Okay, so for instance, in Luke 14:26, we get this one a lot. In fact, Josh and I got this question on Chalk Talk. Jesus says in order to be his followers, we have to hate our mothers, fathers, spouses, children, and etc. Okay, but again, the Greek word here, and that goes against the fifth commandment.
Yeah.
If we're supposed to honor our parents, then why all of a sudden do we have to hate them in order to follow Christ? And the problem with translational errors like these is because then the secular world or the atheistic mind looks at what we're saying in the church and says they don't even know what they believe.
Right.
Their own Bible contradicts itself. It doesn't. Right. The koine word here that was dropped when the KJV translators wasn't exactly sure what that dialect was saying, we discovered again by extra biblical archaeological discoveries and documents that this is the Greek word meseo, which means to be willing to separate from. So Jesus didn't say we have to hate, loathe, and beat up our family. He said that we have to be willing, if it should come to that, to separate from those things to follow him.
Yeah.
Suddenly following Jesus gets put right back where it should be, and our priorities are straightened out because of one word. Yeah. Here's another example. Jesus said that we are to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, I've railed on this one before.
I love
he didn't
this
say
one.
In.
Yeah.
He said in two. Here's why that's important. If you are getting baptized in the name of, then you've got the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit giving their authority. They're letting you be baptized in the authority of their name. If you are being baptized into the name, that means you take on the name, and now you have a familial relationship with God.
Yeah.
You are not only being baptized by the authority of the name, you are being baptized into the name and taking it upon yourself as the adopted Gentile or Jew, the adopted son
or daughter of the king. Wow. So you're suddenly a part of the family of God based on one little word.
That's incredibly
interesting.
Interesting. Very interesting. How you don't even think about some of that. Yeah. You know,
I want to go somewhere different with the conversation here. I think this is super important, and I'm going to shut myself about what you guys to say stuff. Is it or is it not important when it comes to having an awesome, healthy prayer and Bible life that you break the mold, the formula that has been placed on you by church? And I'm talking to you at home, too. If somebody says all you got to do is read for an hour a day, all you got to do is read one chapter a day. These are formulas. And when you are going to a certain time or a certain verse, or you have a certain kind of a numerical code that you have to fulfill, you're not even reading. It's like blah, 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 ding.
Yep. Yay, I'm done.
Let's break those formulas. I believe that if you read one verse in a year and it changes your life, that's better than if you read the whole Bible in a year and it didn't mean nothing.
Absolutely.
It goes I was just going to say, which brings us back to what you originally were quoting from Mike Heiser, the one you read is the one that's the best.
Yeah.
For sure. And I know Joe and I have even done this. You know, we go into the Bible bookstore and actually look at translations to see which one we'll actually read, which one makes sense to us. And we've even done that with the kids, like taking the kids, okay, Kate, okay, Nita, you guys are old enough to read now. Which version do you want that you will read, that you can understand, and have them flip through it? There's nothing wrong with that. That's why they have them, and that's why there's so many different translations. Joe's even gotten, because he likes to do kind of the study where you see which one you like, but then you also have the, like, the four different versions.
The comparative?
The comparative one.
I love those.
So that you can say, okay, the KJV says this, the NLT says this, then this one says this, and kind of comparing all of them, and it helps you with your study, you know, because again, the Word of God is the Word of God.
Right.
He can use it no matter which translation or which version that it is. Mm-hmm. The important part of it is reading it. And actually, I don't maybe open my physical Bible as much, but I use the app, the Bible app. Right. And it's so cool because with just a click, you can change which version. And actually, it's really neat, too, because they have it in like so many different languages, too. You can see how it's written or listen to it even on a different language if you wanted to. That's and I love the option, too, that you can actually have the app read to you, which is kind of nice, too, because then you can follow along, because then I'm not doing what you were just saying is I'm reading the Bible, but then I'm thinking, oh, but wait, I got to make sure the kids do this. And then, oh, but I'm still reading. Oh, yeah, I got to focus. Oh, but then I need to go to the grocery store and get fill in the blank. But then I'm not focused. Yeah. But if I turn on my app and I'm hearing it and I'm seeing it and reading it, it kind of helps speak a little bit more. And then I stay a little bit more focused on what I'm actually reading.
So when I'm reading, what is really hard for me is I keep a little notepad right here with a pencil, because if I don't, I'll be reading and then I'll remember something and before you know it, I'm four or five paragraphs down and I can't let this go. So if I stop, write it down, good, I've released it. Now I go back to, and then later I can come back and deal with whatever that is. But that used to be something I would get hung up on a lot. It's like, don't know what to do with this thing in my head. As far as like King James, I love the King James Version too, because mostly this is what I grew up on, you know, knowing in our young adult married life. This is what we studied, and we stuck to that because that's what we felt was the authoritative word of God.
Yeah.
And we believed and trusted in that. Having said that, over the years, though, I have, started kind of looking at some of the other versions, and I like the ESV. And I'm kind of reading through that along with my KJV. And what I love about that is that I'm seeing things that in KJV language, putting in my own modern term language, it gives me something deeper to think about. Mm-hmm. So I'm loving the fact that I'm learning things I've never seen before, and I don't consider that that's deceptive either. Mm-hmm. I feel like she was under my nose the whole time, and I just didn't understand that phraseology of it. So I'm finding a whole new level in reading since I have explored other versions, just saying.
We do have to take a really quick break, but we just launched our Simply His product line. So make sure you watch this and we'll be right back. So we are so excited and proud to finally be able to announce the product line of Simply His.
Yay! Woo!
and we've been wanting to do this for a while, and especially hearing from you viewers. We've had so many people emailing in, where can I get my Simply His coffee mug? Do you have coffee? What about tea? And what about your t-shirts? We are so excited about this. The first deal we have is our actual coffee line. We're calling it our coffee sampler because we actually each were able to pick out 4 different coffees.
It's organically grown beans, so that was really important.
Yes.
So our first packaging includes a sample of all 4 flavors.
Yes. And you can get this incredible offer for $35 currently.
Yay! It's good coffee, too.
And then we are also selling our teas. You get all 4 of our teas to taste at $28. All of our tea is organic, and it is also loose leaf.
And yes. The thing I love about loose leaf is that you can kind of decide how strong you want your tea.
Oh, and the smell when you open up that little bag, it's just you want to eat it.
And if you're like you, you know, she just drinks all of it, including the tea.
I do. There
you go. Dude, but can we talk about the shirts?
Oh. Yes. So our very first edition of our t-shirt is going to be the silver that Allie is sporting so nicely. And that shirt is actually going to retail for $28, but right now you can get it for $25. And you get one of our mugs. So our 4th and final deal is our mugs.
Yay!
So it will again be you buy 3, you get 1 free. The package will include all 4 of the colors. So you'll get an orange one, a blue one, a purple one, and the green one. So that's pretty cool. Again, we are so excited about our Simply His product line. If you want to purchase them, please go to www.skywatchtvstore.com, and we will have it on the main slider, as well as it'll be over on the left-hand corner, and you'll be able to see our store and go in there and shop till your heart's content. Welcome back. I hope you learned something about some of our pretty cool products. Anyways, we are talking today about translations and versions of the Bible. If you missed the first half of this, you need to go back and watch it. But anyways, we're talking about different translations and how important is that. Mm-hmm. Allie, you kind of had a story about going and shopping for Bibles.
Yeah, I did. Are
you ready for this?
Yeah, well, it doesn't speak to which translation is necessarily the best, but it was just a really sobering moment in my life. And so what had happened was Donna and I for a while were being sent to travel a lot. It was work related. Mm-hmm. And I wanted one of these travel Bibles, and it's a specific, I don't even think it's technically called a travel Bible, but the back cover wraps around and snaps to the front. And I don't know, I just, because my regular Bible was getting kind of tossed around inside my suitcase, and this would keep it, I didn't want it to get dog-eared. So I went to get one of these Bibles, and we go. Were you with me that day?
Uh-uh.
I think, okay. It must have been my daughter. So I go in, and I mean, it's just every kind of Bible in every kind of color. It's, you know, some have camouflage, and some have, you know, purple fur and glitter and all these different versions and different packaging and all of this. And I'm just looking around, and I finally found the one that I had gone in there. I had a real specific thing in mind, and I found it. And I bought it. Then Donna and I went on this particular trip, and I had bought this Bible right before this very same trip. So we're talking fast forward a week or two. And Donna and I end up in this symposium, this Bible museum of mm-hmm. just all kinds of Bibles. Some of these were the old scrolls. They had some old scrolls in there on the papyrus paper.
Cuneiform
and,
tablets.
Thank you. Yes. And then they had a Bible that had come over on the Mayflower. I mean, there were just, it was a historical, it was an amazing collection. But then you get into this one room, and every time you enter a room, there's like a motion sensor that sets off the next next layer of audio
tour.
So it's telling you all about each thing you're looking at, and you go in.
Nice.
And then there's this one room we walk into, and there's a glass case, and it's like from me to this little silver ball decoration thingy away behind a piece of glass. And it's an old Bible, and it looks like it's had coffee spilled on it. And then the audio tour starts talking about how this is a martyr Bible, mm-hmm. and it's actually soaked in the blood of the martyr who died protecting this Bible.
Wow.
And my brain went back to, you know, a week or two before, where I'm standing in this room filled with every Bible, mm-hmm. every version, mm-hmm. every kind of fur or glitter or camo or sparkly. I mean, they had them for kids and they had journaling ones you could color or ones you could take notes in. And I'm not bashing. I'm thankful that we had that selection.
Absolutely.
But there was a sobering moment where I'm remembering so recently being in a room surrounded by that many Bibles and having that many I could choose from and just own one of them today with my debit card. And then looking at this, that someone perished and gave his life, and it's literally, it's stained with his blood. And just thinking, I'm so thankful that we live in a place where, you know, we have all these versions of the Bible to choose from. There's nothing illegal about me going, I can own seven different versions in seven different glittery colors today if I want to.
Right.
And I'm free to study theology. I'm in school for theology.
Yeah.
I'm just so thankful that we have that,
Absolutely.
You know. And so I hate to see people get hung up on this debate about which version do you study, which version do you study.
Right, that's a good
Be
point.
So thankful. You live in a place where you have this choice.
Country.
You know, that's all.
Well, no, and there point. Are very still countries point. Even today where you'll get thrown in prison if you have a Bible or if you're found with a Bible, you know. So we're so blessed that, and what they do is they memorize, they get that Bible and they memorize it. They memorize it, memorize it, memorize it, so that then that way, if they are in prison, they can write notes and they can rewrite out the Bible because they've memorized it. They hide that in their heart, you know. That's just incredible. We are so slacking.
Yeah.
That makes me like...
It makes me think, and I haven't studied the original Hebrew or Greek on this, so I don't know, I might be out of context here, but the phrase hiding it in your heart, it takes on a new context when you're talking about that's the only place you're allowed to have one. You know, I'm going to go home and research that. Maybe we'll do a show on it sometime, because now I want to know.
You know, Ali, you were talking about hiding that in your heart to a bigger degree.
Right.
I have a little story I'd like to share that happened to me a few years back in a place where I was working. My supervisor that was over me, was for a women's ministries thing that we were doing. I don't know how to say this without just getting... So I'm very apprehensive to share this story, but I know that this will help someone.
Because it's probably happened to somebody else.
Oh,
I'm sure it happens on a daily basis everywhere.
Absolutely.
In any religion or in any Christian church where there are religious people.
Right.
Legally religious.
Legalistic, and they work by formulas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not who you are, it's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
So I was at this ministry, and there was one particular individual that just was always, always trying to demean and make me feel like I was never going to measure up to the level of spirituality of the office in which I had sit in.
Right.
So one day I went in, and I was helping our secretary and everybody collate papers because we had to get this paper out. And while I'm there, this person starts to rattle off a 3-point sermon, as she quite often did, and it would always make me feel that tall because I am not a scholar. I have never claimed to be a scholar. I can teach kids in Sunday school. It was my best ever. You know what I mean? So I'm not going to preach sermons and all that, but she would rattle them off to me, quoting scripture left and right. And so one day I came in and she's doing this thing again, and she goes, "So, Nita, where are you in the Word of God?" And I was like, and I had to drive 2 hours to get there.
Oh, my word.
In the morning. So I had to get up before the chickens and wake them up to get there. So I'm
hey,
just
it's
saying.
Morning time. Crow for
right. Yeah, crow.
So I know it's morning.
So I would get there. And so this particular day, I just was barely getting out the door and I did not have my morning devotions, which sometimes happens when you're driving 2 hours and you got to be somewhere.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I said, well, you know, I kind of mealing around, and I was embarrassed to say I didn't read my Bible today because I felt like, oh, my gosh, I'm really letting her down now. I'm really failing this one. I'm just striking out right now. And then whenever I got done saying, you know, I don't read it every day, but I can read it as often as I can. She goes, well, if you're going to be sitting in this office, you have to set the example. And then she went on to explain to me how I was failing. I left that room that day. And I went into my own little private office, and I started crying because I felt like I was just not ever going to... And I said, God, why am I here?
Yeah.
Why am I in this office? I'm not like this person, and I'm not, I will never be that. This is who I am. Why, you know, I questioned myself, and I will tell you the truth, I cried for 2 weeks over that. I cried all the way home, and I would cry all the way back, 2-hour drive.
2 hours one way.
Yes.
So this is 4 hours, and it for a ministry that you were trying to.
And, I was about to just give up. And I was sitting in the office one day and I said, Lord, I really, really need to know why I'm in this room. And then I was regaling those words. You know, we must set the example. And I'm beating myself up again. And you want to know the coolest thing that happened? Is the Lord tapped me on my shoulder like he sometimes does. And he goes, Nita, he said, it's not where are you in the Word of God. It is where is the Word of God in you.
That's right. That's right.
I'm just saying. That's and I true. Started crying. Anyway, I started crying. And I realized that I'm never going to measure up to some people's expectations. But you know what? I think everybody in this room can relate to that.
That's right.
And just
absolutely.
But that's a true story. And so I don't read my Bible formulaically anymore. Mm-hmm. I just like you, if I read one scripture today and it makes me do what I have to do or whatever, I can relate to that. So mm-hmm. that's my story.
Well, you're talking about different versions of the Bible. Any of them that you turn into a weapon is now an issue.
Yes. Boy, that is true.
That is an
you don't
other,
want to bash people over the head with it, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Episode right there. That's another episode because a lot of people use the Bible as a flagrum whenever it's convenient for them to use certain things.
I'm just going to jump in and defend you for a minute. You're not giving yourself enough credit because you say you read your Bible when you can. But I will say, as your daughter, who watched you every day of my childhood, mm-hmm. read your Bible devoutly all the time. Now, how much you were reading each day, I don't know. But your Bible never had dust settle on it. You and Dad both. The Bibles that burned in your house. Oh. I would give a lot to have either of those Bibles back. There wasn't a page that wasn't marked up somewhere in either of your Bibles. You know, I mean, and you say you're not a scholar, but that doesn't mean you haven't been to school to study theology, but right. you knew the Bible when I was a kid and you know it that much more now. So, you know, you kind of have to qualify saying I'm not a scholar and I don't read my Bible every day. That's only true when you're in this completely self-critical mode that you sometimes get into. But what you're doing is, again, telling the story that we told, not the very same story, but the essence of the spirit of the same story, in the book Misfits that we wrote together. There are so many people out there that feel they don't measure up, that they're having the Bible weaponized against them. And that's why we have to talk about the translations and things like that.
Well. Yes. And unfortunately, we are all out of time. How sad is that? Such a great episode. We truly hope that you learned something. Read your Bible. It doesn't have to be formulaic. You don't have to do a 5-point sermon out of your Bible reading.
Amen. Yeah. Right.
Just read one verse that speaks to you.
Yeah.
And that's all that matters. Like what Nita said, it's not where are you in God's word. It's where is God's word in you. And that is the
Amen.
Most important.
Amen. Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Simply His Coffee Shop. We will see you next time. Woo!